Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Now joining us is one of the legendary defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL. He is now a four-time Super Bowl champion. And once again, he is Steve Spagnuolo, kind enough to join us after another world championship on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Spags, always appreciate the time. Congratulations to you and your family. And how you doing?
I'm doing great, Zach. I apologize. I'm not a technology guy, and I couldn't figure out the audio here. I can see you, though, so I'm waving to you, just so you know. I see the Kansas City Chiefs hat in the background, and great to be on with you.
Well, that's awesome, and I think we'll give you a pass, Coach. You know, you're an old-school coach. We know what you're doing with the defense. If you can't figure out the Zoom, I guess we'll get that squared away for the next parade for Kansas City, right?
Give me a pass on not figuring out the Zoom. I appreciate that.
I hate to start it off this way, but obviously yesterday turned from a great day into a scary day. How did you kind of process everything that happened at the parade, which was definitely a somber moment after celebrating a world championship?
Yeah, Zach, I'm glad you brought it up here at the beginning, because obviously prayers go out to the lives lost, one that we're aware of, and then obviously the injuries and the children involved, and just a sad, sad thing to have happen in a really glorious celebration. I mean, we're there for the people, for our great fans, and then to have it end that way was tough. I hope it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, our guys kind of accomplished something really great. But because this is real world stuff, I think we should acknowledge the prayers that go out to those people.
Yeah, it was just absolutely surreal. And it was crazy how quickly it happened. You know, we all saw Travis Kelce being a bit intoxicated and singing yesterday. I saw Willie Gay was lying in the streets with the shoes off and a bottle of Henny in his hands. And the next thing you know, you see just a frantic scene. When did you kind of realize that, hey, this is something serious and something wrong was going on? Because it just seemed like it happened at a snap of a finger.
Yeah, well, it felt like we were kind of winding down with the stage portion of it, and we were kind of getting off. And then they said everybody's got to get out of here quickly. So we weren't really sure what was going on. As you can imagine, in those situations, there's a lot of unknown, and we really didn't hear anything. But everybody was concerned because of what has happened in the past in this country. So they kind of scudded us through, and there was a kind of a tense moment there where we were trying to get to the buses, and then people couldn't find that. The hardest and the most scariest thing about it was when you couldn't find a family member, and you knew possibly was something was going on outside of the building we were in. You know, that got concerning, and you could see it in the faces of people. So, I thought the police department in Kansas City and all those policemen that were involved did a tremendous job. The people that responded, I think a lot of credit goes out to them, and the people that actually put these events on, I think did a tremendous job.
Now, you can't say it any better. Steve Spagnuolo is here with us. I remember not that long ago, you, me, and the cuz, Anthony Gargano, were hanging out at a Super Bowl, and the next thing we know, we already knew you were a great defensive coordinator with the championship, even though you beat my Patriots in that Super Bowl, but then you get reunited with Andy Reid, and now you've won three more Super Bowls. What is this chapter for you? Congratulations on the new extension, by the way. What has it meant to you when you've been able to process it for a bit?
Well, first of all, Zach, I mean, you know me. I give all the glory to God, and I'm blessed and so very fortunate that I was able to come here because of a relationship that I had with Andy, obviously, prior, and him having the confidence in bringing me here meant a great deal. And listen, since the day I've gotten here, or the day he decided to bring me here, all my goal has been is to make him look right in his decision. And you never want to let Andy Reid down. I think every guy that plays for him or coaches for him says that, and it's the truth. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to uphold our part of the bargain. And being around him, being with him, working for him, the confidence he shows in us as coaches and players is goes beyond even talking about. He's unique. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm glad I've had the chance to work with him. I'm glad I'm going to get a chance to continue to work with him.
And I'm looking back at some of our old text messages from earlier in the year, Spags, and I'll take you back to Friday, September 22nd, where I texted you and I said, you got those guys humming this year. Defense looks really good. Not getting enough praise. And you said, we're okay with no praise. Our guys are all in and just want to help the team win. Got to do it again. I'm just wondering, because it was evident to me how special your defense could be. When did you start to sense this season that you guys not only had a good defense, but a great defense?
Well, you know, it's a great question, Zach. And, you know, you go through the season, I'd have to go back on the Rolodex of my mind to remember that. But I can say this. There was a concern when Nick Bolton got hurt somewhere, I don't know, game 3, 4, 5, whatever it was. And when Drew Tranquil stepped in there, and we really didn't feel like we skipped a beat because he was so good at getting in there in the middle and controlling. When you lose the quarterback of your defense, like when you're losing the quarterback on offense, sometimes there's a step backwards. But that didn't happen to us. They rallied around Drew. And it just kind of showed me what the other 10 were like and how they functioned as a unit. And every guy kind of bought in. That was probably it for me when we kept a high level of defense, even though, you know, the guy in the middle was on the sideline when Nick got hurt.
You know, it's kind of crazy because you have so many big-name players, so sometimes people get lost in the shuffle. But what Nick Bolton has been able to do the last two Super Bowls has just been sensational. And also, I know you're close with Mike Pinnell, and I want to bring him up as well. Man, mm-hmm. What an unsung hero he was on Super Bowl Sunday.
And before I got on here, Zach, I was watching the second half for the third time or whatever. I've watched it on the TV copy, but I'm sitting here doing the coach's copy now, and you're right about Mike. There were some key downs in there where he just physically overwhelmed the guy that was blocking, made key stops for us, and we had so many guys do that.
He put Trent Williams on his ass, Coach. I've never seen someone do that.
No, that's a good point, Zach, and it's all about leverage and how we played that day. And going back to Nick, I mean, there was a key moment in that game, you guys will remember it, that 3rd and 4 where we got him to kick the field goal was huge for us. And the clock was winding down. They decided to take it to 2 minutes. We had called a particular defense to defend that 3rd and 4, but when they let it get down to 2 minutes, I looked at my sheet and I said, this is like a 4th down. I looked at my 4th down calls and I got on the headset with Nick. You know, now he can't respond to me, right? I'm just looking out on the field. And I was looking for his reaction. I said, Nick, what do you think about this call? And he was bobbing his head, and he was all for it. So I knew when Nick Bolton said, yeah, that's the one I want, I knew that was the one to go to. And, you know, Trent came through, knocked the ball down, and it was a key stop. So getting back to Nick, that's him. I mean, having the confidence in him, all the other guys feel the same way. He gets everybody lined up, and then he goes and plays really good football.
And I know you just talked about the McDuffie play. Then how about in overtime? Because they had some guys open, but Planet players, you know this, Coach, they make Planet plays. And my, oh my, yeah. Chris Jones stepped up in the biggest moment.
Yeah, I just watched it not 10 minutes ago before getting on here. And I'm not so sure that maybe their offensive line didn't make a mistake. I mean, you'd have to ask the 49ers. But Chris obviously has a unique feel and skill for when the quarterback's going to throw that football. And they give him a little bit of lane, and he can accelerate, and he made him throw it a little bit quicker than I think they wanted to. Unfortunately for us, the ball went incomplete.
Talking to Steve Spagnuolo right now, 4-time defensive coordinator as a Super Bowl champion. I got to ask you about overtime. It was adamant from your side that you guys wanted the ball second, and your defense was on the field first. When you heard that the 49ers won the toss and they took the ball, were you surprised by that decision with these new rules?
I guess I was, Zach, but I will tell you this. From a defensive standpoint, you know you're going to have to go out at some point, like the way the rules are now. You know, it used to be you waited for that coin flip and hope we won the coin toss and got the ball, right? It's not like that anymore. So we were just preparing for a series of defense. So the difference for us would be, if we go out first because, you know, 49ers got the ball, there's a chance it's a 3-down situation, you get them to punt. If you go out second and they've, you know, we have put some points on the board, then you know it's a four-down experience. So we were just waiting to see what it was going to be for us. It ended up us going out first. And, you know, the one that the play that kind of sticks out to me, I wish that we had had back or somehow it, you know, been successful. It was a 3rd and 13. You know, we get the penalty on Trent. And, you know, they flag him and that gives him a first down. They end up kicking a field goal. But all in all, you know who we have as our quarterback. So we felt like, I think in our minds, we don't want to give up field goals. But if we could hold them to a field goal, we know Patrick's got a chance.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. When they kicked the field goal, I think everyone thought Mahomes was marching right down the field. When you saw the final play where he finds McColl and you guys are world champs and it's a walk-off, just how did you kind of process that, relive that for me, Spags?
You know what, Zach? I can relive it exactly the way it happened. I mean, I before that play happened, I noticed that Drew Tranquil was to my right. And I didn't know that was going to be the touchdown scoring play, but I just had that in my mind. And Drew is a guy that did not experience a Super Bowl yet. And I'm always really pulling and want to win for the guys that haven't felt it. And so the minute McColl scored, I grabbed Drew, who was had his head buried on the ground because he was so happy. And I just told him how happy I was for him since he had not felt this before, and certainly happy for everybody, but especially those guys. And we were so fortunate to get Drew. He hadn't won a playoff game in his career, and here he was now a Super Bowl champ, which I was really, really happy for.
So I know that Chris Jones said yesterday that he's not going anywhere. I know that he needs a new contract, and that was a storyline even before the season started. Inevitable that they'll get this thing done in Kansas City, in your opinion?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, we got all kinds of confidence in Brett Veach and his crew, and I know Chris wants to be here, and we want him here. Now, there's a lot going. Every year changes, right? I mean, I shared this with other people, Zach. I'll share it with you, that throughout this playoff run, I mean, right from the first game against Miami, before every game, I prayed, good Lord, give me another week with these guys, because I know – because it's a special group, and I know it changes every year. And, you know, hopefully Chris is with us, but I hope that for, I don't think there's about 10 or 11 defensive guys whose contracts are up, and I know we can't keep everybody, but I want to keep as many as we possibly can because it's unique. And but I'm realistic. I know that it'll change a little bit. Hopefully Chris is not one of those, but we'll see as we go forward. It's a different kind of business in that way.
I feel like every year when we have you on after you win a Super Bowl, I make the case why you should get another opportunity to become a head coach. Have you been kind of surprised that you haven't even got another sniff at a head coaching job?
Well, I mean, I guess there's some disappointment and surprise. I would at least like to be able to talk to people and see what their thoughts are. I you know, listen, I don't lose sleep over it. I've told you this before, Zach. But do I want it? Yeah. I mean, we're all prideful guys, right? We want to prove that the way we did things in St. Louis. I mean, we had it on the right track after that second year. We're one game away from, if we win the last game of the season, we're in the playoffs at 8-8 and play New Orleans at home. And that didn't happen. Then we ran into the lockout. So would I? Yes. But I always finish by saying this. If it never happens, I'm a blessed man. I got a great job. I work for a great organization and a great head coach, so I'd be good as well.
And here's the other thing. Your rise, we all know what you have done and what you have accomplished. You have Kay Adams, Eric Eager. I did a sports minute on it the other day. We're making the case for Spags to get in the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't think you need to be a head coach again get in the Hall of Fame with what you've done. So what does that mean when you hear those words of extolment?
Can I be honest with you, Zach? I can't even wrap my arms around that. Like, that has never been in. I haven't had the dream go that far in my head, to be honest with you. I don't even know how to comment on it, and I just kind of keep coaching and coaching hard and hopefully winning games, and whatever happens after that would be great. But I do appreciate you guys even saying that. I mean, I'm humbled to even be considered in that regard, but I think it is all about players. You know, I'm always going to go back to that, Zach. I've been blessed to be around some great assistant coaches who should get a lot more credit than they do. And then the players certainly, they do it on the field.
By the way, when I was at the AFC Championship game after you guys punched another ticket to the Super Bowl, Andy revealed that your wife has been making some good desserts for the coaching staff. What's the legendary dessert, Spags?
Well, let me tell you this, though. She makes them every Friday for all the defensive guys. And, of course, that filters into the equipment room, training room, and all that. And then, you know, we have a little award that she makes a big pasta dinner for. We'll call it the Cram Award, and the guy that gets the biggest hit gets that. But here's where I'm going. I always make sure in that dessert bunch that I pull one out, put it on the head coach's desk. So when he comes off the field on Fridays, he's got that waiting for him. So I think part of the reason I was able to be asked to come back here was because Coach Reed didn't want to miss out on that.
Well, I was going to say that's how I know Coach isn't retiring, because if he retires, he's not going to get those desserts.
There you go. Well, I know my wife would probably be sending to him in retirement, too. That's how she is. So.
Last thing I'll ask you, you know what it's like to lose a job in this league. Did you kind of react to Steve Wilks going from coaching in a Super Bowl and then shortly after that getting fired yesterday?
Shocking. Listen, I have, my heart goes out to any of the coaches in this league because they get let go. Now, we all know that that's the reality and it can happen. It's a little shocking when it happens, when somebody goes that far. But listen, I've been on all ends of this thing, and I do know this. It's a forgiving profession, and Steve Wilks is a good football coach, and he'll land on his feet because he is. And sometimes, sometimes when one door closes and a window opens, and hopefully that will happen for him, and he'll get back on his feet.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part to me, is that in regulation they held the great Patrick Mahomes to one touchdown drive. It's not as if the defense was the reason why they lost that Super Bowl. I thought it was their offense.
No, you're probably right about that. I'm just happy that we ended up winning this thing. But I do feel, you're bringing it up, and I do feel for Steve. I don't know him that well, but for any coach that has to go through that, it's hard.
Well, Spags, hey, I always appreciate you. Once again, congratulations to you and your family, and can't thank you enough for giving us time right out of the gate today on the show.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Zach. Good luck to you, and I'm sure we'll talk again. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks so much. Steve Spagnuolo.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.